You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Malls has got to be the first guy in line to get the Kawhi shirt. Wouldn't you think?
Why?
Well, what does the Kawhi shirt say?
Fun guy?
No.
Board man gets paid?
Yeah.
He is on the board. He is on the board. That's why you got to be careful with the board man.
The board man gets paid.
I would love one of those shirts.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
You know what? Yeah, the board man gets paid. Malls has got to have one.
It was such a long day yesterday, and obviously the black cloud of the shooting and all that. But like, I went back and they had the replay of the parade. I didn't get to enjoy that Kawhi laugh and some of the speeches as much as I wanted to. If that makes sense.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they were told, we have to wrap this up.
I get it, but I...
For two reasons, the incident and how long it took to get there.
Yeah, I went back today and actually rewatched it as well. And it wasn't as bad as I remembered or as quick as I remembered.
Right.
But it was very deflating down at Nathan Phillips Square after Matt Devlin came out with the announcement, something's going on here, we'll give you an update.
I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Yeah, obviously, you could tell everyone up on the stage, let alone people in the crowd, were like, what the hell is going on here?
Right.
And the people at City Hall had been there all day. We had been there all day. Now, we were disconnected from the crowd because we were up on that perch.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty clear it was a combination of the shooting,
right,
and how that had an effect on everything. And it was a 6.5 hour parade.
Yeah.
Like 6.5 hour parade. They clearly, I'm sure the players got there and said, guys, come on. Like, I can't do 10 minutes freestyle on the mic today.
Right.
I could have 3 hours ago.
Well, after drinking for 5 hours on a float.
But even just gassed, you're tired, you've been partying for 48 hours.
27 degree weather or whatever it was. It was a beautiful day.
But there still were some pretty good lines. Like you mentioned the Kawhi mic drop. That's a great way to end the parade. That's outstanding.
That's amazing.
That's exactly how it should have ended. So it ended the way it should have ended, with him acknowledging the laugh and being a fun guy and all that kind of stuff. But everything in between was, you know, I felt for Larry Tannenbaum because he's been waiting for that moment for a long time, and he had his speech obviously interrupted. Now, it was interrupted for the right reason, clearly.
Right.
But it was weird down there. Like, it really was. It was strange for us. And obviously, we weren't affected by anything. We weren't injured.
But
obviously, that's what people are more focused on, as they should be. But it was an eerie experience.
It was. But like you say, it was such a long day, and people were so drained. Even when they got there before the shooting and that, the energy levels were at 30%. And people were trying to get excited, and they were excited. But it was almost like they were dehydrated and frustrated. And I'm sure they were pissed off having to stand there for hour after hour. But it was exciting going back. What my whole point was, going back and looking at it, like, it was quite amazing to actually, from the luxury of my couch, watch it again and go, nah, it's a cool, you know, everything was cool about it. But the process really stunk.
Yeah. And again, from our vantage point, we said it multiple times yesterday afternoon. We felt like we were kind of in the parade, but not really parade.
We were
like, you know what it felt like? If you're a golf fan, we set up on the 18th hole. We were at the 18th green.
And the leaders were on one, and it was very slow.
And it took 5 hours for them to get to 18. And then you get to 18, and it turns out the leaderboard has fallen apart, and some guy's up by 7 shots. And you're like, oh, it's not actually what we were hoping for.
And all you're getting is tidbits of information. That's the one thing too, is they had those screens. They had the opportunity to kind of involve people in it a little bit. They put out the parade. They had some interviews, but it wasn't constant. Like those screens that we were watching and that, they weren't on the whole time.
Yeah, and the thing is about Nathan Phillips Square, what I will say is, if as a fan, if you made the decision to set up there, you made that decision hoping that the payoff would be when they get up on stage.
Well, at the
but
end,
you knew it was going to take them hours to get there. You didn't know it was going to take them 5.5 or whatever.
You thought maybe 3.
But you made the decision to go there. You could have lined up on the lake shore.
At 10, you thought they were getting there at 12:30.
Yeah, because that's what everyone had told them. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what? There's been all kinds of articles, been all kinds of complaints about how they butchered it. I don't know. And I agree with it. It was butchered. It took too long. It was way too long. There was a lot of issues with it. I don't know who's responsible for that. Like, how could it have been better?
Well, here's what I hope they learn from the next parade, because I hope there is another parade, and I look forward to being down there.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that. I love that talk too. For the next one, there's no guarantee.
No, of course there is.
But there will be a bit. Like, there's
not. At some point, the Leafs or Raptors or Blue Jays are going to win again.
Even if it's 10 years from now, there's going to be another parade.
What is clear is water and food supply. It's got to be ample. It's got to be available to people. Barricading has to happen.
Yeah.
And there has to be entertainment for those that are waiting miles away or kilometers away from the real stuff. And specifically at Nathan Phillips Square. There was no excuse yesterday for the 100,000 people that were there just to be left standing there for hours. There should have been bands that were playing. There should have been videos. There should have been water being handed out, and it didn't happen.
I read Bruce Arthur's article, but I also read Sy's. And Steve Simmons' article wasn't, I mean, he butchered it, or butchered them, but he wasn't wrong. Like, he wasn't wrong with some of the things he pointed out. But, you know, I read Bruce Arthur's article, too, and, you know, it was just two contrasting views of their experiences that day. Everyone that was down there had their own experience. Like, I was reading last night a little bit online. People, I was there, and I had to take a leak here. I had to do this and that. Like, everyone experienced it a different way. But I'll go back. You're glad you experienced it, I'm sure. People wake up today going, yeah, I was there, and there were, you know, obviously
outside of the traumatic period where
that
some
was
people,
very scary, and there were people that were injured and trampled and
some
stuff,
people apparently. That had to deal with that, clearly they're going to look back on this day very differently. But I would assume people that were lined up on Lakeshore, up and down University, people that were close to the stage, yes, it took a long time, but I don't think you're ever going to forget it.
No.
And you'll probably do it again if we're lucky enough to have that experience. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to point fingers. I don't know who's responsible for what. But you, at the end of the day, you can't have a 6.5-hour parade.
No.
Like, that's just an obvious statement, but that goes, it has to be stated. Well, you cannot have a 6.5-hour parade.
That could have been wrapped up by 1:30, and people could have got the opportunity to go back to work.
Yeah. If they were in the square by 1 o'clock, by 1:30 latest, that's 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Like, I think... Not that a lot of we have no idea about the shoot. Let's take that out, the violence, but just the people that were in the square, their comfort level, their ability to stand there and either not be entertained or just wait, because on the screens you would see, okay, the parade is coming up. It's at Lakeshore. How many times did we say on air, like, man, it's at a standstill? And they're not even at Scotiabank Center yet. And so you could tell that there was frustration. There was a fan yelling up to us, the guy with the beard, like, where are they at? Where are they at? And we were unfortunately reporting down, well, it's about 2 hours away still.
And he kept asking us, where are they at? Like, what is the timeline?
And listen.
I was like, 2 hours, 1 hour, three hours?
We had no idea. But I think, again, for the next one, because there is going to be a next one. We don't know when. But there is going to be another parade. I'm sure it's a lesson learned. And I don't want to say it's a good problem to have, but 2 million people showed up. Like, it's not like, you know, 175 people showed up and it was.
Oh, outside of the timing, like, again, outside of the timeline. And I'll bet you the players loved every second of it, because if you're up on those buses just driving through crowds and oozing.
It just seems like half an hour. You're like, you know what?
I don't know. I didn't get that impression.
I think they were fed up?
No, I don't think they were. I think by the end, they were like, okay, we're not going to be up on stage for an hour. But I never got the impression, and again, going back and watching some of it today, that the players were like, I got to get off the bus. Or they were still spraying champagne up and down University. They were waving. They were doing their selfies.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you enjoy that? You're the kings of the city. You're never going to go through that again. So I don't think the players had a problem with the actual parade route. I think it's that the timing by the end
execution.
Of it, they were probably like, okay, we got to get through this.
Yeah.
And apparently Drake was supposed to perform, and obviously that didn't happen. So listen, in the end, it was an incredible experience that people aren't going to forget. There were some downsides to it, but you got to hang out downtown. The weather was beautiful. There were a lot of people. You're not going to forget that.
No.
You're not going to forget that. And now you turn the page on it, and it's going to be all about Kawhi Leonard between today and the next 2 weeks or so. What he's going to do? Is he going to stay in Toronto? Is he going to go to L.A.? Brian Windhorst was on the station this morning on First Up, and he said it's either a short-term deal in Toronto or a longer-term deal in L.A. Adrian Wojnarowski was on ESPN saying it's Raptors or Clippers. I mean, this isn't news necessarily. I think most people have been speculating that for quite some time.
Right.
But we'll find out.
Comes back to what you, like you've been saying all along, it's been those two, but like there's no Knicks out of nowhere or, you know, Oklahoma or anything like that. It's
well, I'm sure Brooklyn and the Knicks are sniffing around, but
well, sure
what is the time frame, by the way? We're talking 2 weeks, we'll know this?
I think so. I think by July 1st, we're going to know.
Like, when's the opt-out? Like, they're opting out right now, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to let them know in the next... I wouldn't be shocked by the end of the week, next week. I mean, he doesn't have to. He can just say, I'm going to get to July 1st, and I'm going to speak with whoever I want to speak to. And
yeah, but that's 2 weeks away.
But I'm sure Masai has enough respect from him that he's earned that, you know, Kawhi will give him a heads up.
Well, what else are you figuring out?
Right.
Now it's been determined. If you want to go to L.A., it's because you want to be in L.A.
Brian, I've said this a lot. Like, John Tavares, he knew he was coming to Toronto as soon as the season started, his last season. He's like, you know what? I'll sniff around in San Jose. They're going to offer me more money. But you know what you want to do.
Well, here's where I would argue against that in terms of the full-blown comparison.
Are you telling me that John Tavares, you don't think that he knew he wanted to be a Maple Leaf?
I think he knew he played in a dump with no fans, ownership was terrible, and they were never going to win a cup. I think Kawhi said, man, this city just had 2 million people show up, ownership's incredible, they treated me like a god, and I won a title. That's way different than what Tavares was going through.
Right, but
I don't disagree that John Tavares probably said...
I agree the situations are completely different.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
If the Islanders won a cup, who the hell knows what would
have happened? I think he would have resigned. I think if the Islanders won a cup, I don't think Tavares comes
up
here.
Well, he would have been part of that. He would have been part of winning
a cup. But Kawhi Leonard's a part of this right now.
Right, right.
So that is the difference.
Winning a championship alters everything as far as your decision.
It has to. That's what I'm saying. Do I think, again, before the year started, Kawhi Leonard was thinking, I'm going to L.A.? Absolutely.
Right.
I've been saying that all along. I think he made up his mind. It's not a matter of that. It's will he be willing to change his mind? I think there's probably a good chance this time last year, John Tavares, or 2 years ago, Tavares had made up his mind, if I get an opportunity to go to Toronto, I will.
Right.
And the Islanders never changed his mind because they were a disaster that missed the playoffs, that plays in a dump with no fans. Right. So he said, I'm out of here. Right? Like, that's how I picture the difference between the two.
I get it, but I'm careful with, like, the Islanders had a better season than the Leafs, and they won a round.
What does that have to do with what John Tavares was doing two years
ago?
I'm
just saying, like...
They missed the playoffs.
But it's not a dump of a situation.
Like, yes, it was.
Long Island is a very... They're going back there.
When he was there, it was a mess.
Yeah, Noodles, it was a
when
mess.
He left, they were a mess. Now, this year, they've turned it around with Trotz and Lamoriello, and they made the playoffs.
You're right, and he had an opportunity to sign there with that new regime, and he didn't take that. That's his, that's
right,
on him.
But there was no sample size for him. They didn't do it. Like, they were still terrible, and they turned it around.
Right.
But he was not there for that. They didn't know that was coming.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Where Kawhi Leonard knows what just happened. They won a title.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
through the view of Tavares throughout the year, they missed the playoffs.
Right.
They were the worst defensive team in the league. Doug Weight was the coach.
Yeah.
Ownership was in transition. They didn't know where they were playing.
Yeah, that was the...
That was just a fact. When he signed, that's what was going on with the Islanders. Doesn't matter what the Leafs did this year.
I think the ownership was still there. I think the new ownership had taken over. It was a couple years ago.
Okay, well, I don't know why you're fighting me on that.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, be careful calling an organization a dump that actually had a better season than the Leafs this year.
What does that have to do with anything?
With Tavares on it. Well, what do you mean, what does that
mean? I didn't bring up the Leafs in factoring into
Tavares went to the Leafs. He chose an organization.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That has a rink, that has ownership, that has fans.
And the fans were there in Long Island, too.
Really, to the same extent as the Maple Leafs?
No.
Is that what you're arguing with me right now?
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying, like, I get what you're saying, but...
Do you get what I'm saying? Because it sounds like you're trying to argue against it, where... I mean, let's be honest. They're like second last in attendance. They were playing in Nassau Coliseum or at Barclays.
Right, right.
And he had been there, and they weren't doing anything. Doesn't mean that it hasn't changed over the course of the year.
Right.
I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about 2 years ago going into his final season in New York.
Okay.
Where I'm sure Kawhi was saying the same thing here. Yeah. I'm in Canada. They haven't won anything. The Raptors have a reputation of choking. But it changed over the course of the year because it worked for them.
No,
the Islanders, it didn't change the year, his last year. They missed the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm sure if John Tavares was in the island this year,
it would have changed a lot, I think.
That's the point I'm making. But the year prior, no chance.
Well, you're right. They missed the playoffs, and they were still at Barclays Center. You're right. Not arguing.
Okay, carrying on.
Carrying on.
All right, Duffy will join us in 15 minutes.
Is he coming in studio?
No,
I don't know where he is.
He thought he was. Did you see him yesterday?
No, I never got a chance to talk to him.
He was. I don't even know what the King Daddy Topper is of news. But I guess he was it. He was with Lisa LaFlamme.
Well, he got called up, basically. Is that technically being called up?
Did he get called up or did Lisa LaFlamme get called up? Who ran the show? We got to ask him.
I don't know. We were on the air. I didn't get to see
who was the host, him or Lisa?
I think it was a co-hosting.
I think it was a co-host situation.
Yeah, I don't think anyone.
Yeah, but generally somebody takes charge.
I don't think there was a power struggle there.
No.
I mean, I think Lisa's the first one to admit she's not like the biggest sports fan of all time. So I'm sure when in doubt, Duffy was going to take control of it. But
you know it.
I think Lisa LaFlamme can get in there and say whatever she wants. Whenever she wants. So we'll catch up with Duffy. We'll look back again on the parade yesterday and where the Raptors go from here. A lot of movement in the NHL already. Uncertainty of what the cap is going to be somehow. I mean, this seems pretty ridiculous.
That's
to me.
Dangerous.
How do you not establish that the second after the cup is handed out? Hey, guys, just before you do all your business, here's the
first
salary
thing.
Cap.
But do you have
first
to vote
thing.
On it? It's because of escrow. The players have to vote on
it. But tell them you got to vote on June 1st. Or so.
Sure
why are you still doing it now?
Well, because I think they're waiting for the final numbers to come in. Like, it's revenue stream, right?
No, I understand that, but it seems like it's your business. You can probably control when the numbers are coming out, what they're going to be.
But you don't know. St. Louis, and they were still playing.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you think it was that big of a swing, the cup final, based on what the escrow number is going to be?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay.
Why are you so combative today?
You're the one that I'm just making
all
points.
All of a sudden, you know the cap. You know all the economics in the national
hockey. Saying it seems like it's pretty ridiculous that we're 2 days away from the draft and they haven't determined the cap.
I know, but
is that a hot take or is that just
players.
Sensible?
That's on the players and the
right. I
competition
know that.
Committee
but
and everything.
Find a way to make it work is what I'm saying. It doesn't seem that far-fetched to be like, maybe we should get this done for everybody's sake before we get to the draft. Does that seem ridiculous to anybody or what?
I'd like to get it done early.
I think it should be implemented, but escrow is so high. I think the you have to wait till the cup is done, then you get to business. I think that's
what
they've
done.
And
it doesn't affect my life. I'm not a GM or one of the players who are looking to get paid. I just think it makes sense that it would make people's lives easier if you knew what the cap was. Like, moves are happening. The Trouba deal happened in large part because of the cap.
Yeah.
They don't even know what the cap is.
Well, yeah. It
That's all I'm
like,
saying.
Yeah, and some teams that we're hoping that it's going to be at 84, it's going to be at 82.
Exactly.
That's $2 million.
That's substantial.
It is. There's three teams I can think of that could use that money. Edmonton, the Leafs. And Winnipeg,
absolutely. There's a lot of teams.
I mean, Vancouver would, too. I mean, but like Ottawa's not going to use it, technically.
No.
But Canadian teams.
Yeah, I think, again, it is what it is, that this is the way they go about it, and we'll find out eventually. But it does kind of seem, just based on what McKenzie's been tweeting, like a lot of teams are, like, panicked now because they were told it's going to be 84, and now it might be under 82. It's going to change a lot of business, I would think. All right, Duffy in 10 minutes. Ray Ferraro's coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Been reading a few pieces.
Oh, yeah?
That dad bods, women are finding more attractive than abs and being ripped.
Do you want to hear my theory on that? Do you know who's voting on that?
Dads?
Yeah, exactly. Guys built like me.
Dude, you got to go home. Like, you sound like you're a mess. What happened to
you? I'm sick. I don't know. I don't feel well, man. I've told you, my
kids
have been sick.
Did you get SARS or something? Or what the hell happened to you? You were perfectly fine when I left you at 7 o'clock last night.
Yeah, but he talked for 7 hours yesterday.
So did we.
No, he talks more than us. You know that.
Oh, we all... now I'm not going to listen to this. You talked more than us, therefore you are more stressed out than we were.
No, I'm saying his voice was
stressed. I mean, I'll admit, I mailed in a couple segments, but...
I haven't said a word. I'm fine. I'm here. I just, you know, I got a little bit of a cold.
I actually didn't know that. I didn't notice that until now.
Well, I feel
you're
all
right
now.
You're a mess.
Yeah, that's I got to be honest. I'm in a bit of a mood today.
Not more than me. And by the way,
we're
I don't even.
Moods,
the
I owe Noodles an apology. I was yelling at him. I shouldn't have.
No, you guys. No, he was being a. He was being.
He triggered me a little bit, but it's all right. It's all
he's
good.
An Islander alumni. He kind of fought back.
I should have been
bit.
Careful with that.
I'll tell you what. Friday, I don't care if it's the NHL draft. It's a personal day.
Oh, really?
I.
Why?
Bueller.
What happened?
You. We worked for 10 hours yesterday.
What does that have to do with
you
Friday,
said you
though?
You just admitted that you mailed in some of the segments.
I'll tell you what. Friday is a personal day, and Monday is in jeopardy as well.
Well, Monday can't be because we're coming off the draft.
Right.
Like, I got to be honest.
No, Friday, I don't care. You
go ahead.
Jonas.
Do whatever you want on Friday. Yeah. But on Monday, you better be here because if stuff breaks loose over the weekend and you're not here.
I'm here Monday.
You know what? I'll be on call on Friday. I'll be at my golf course. I'll have a speakerphone. I'll have the bows in my cart. I'll have whatever.
You're already saying, like,
it's over.
No, I'm not coming in Friday. I did more. It's not in my contract to show up yesterday, and I did.
Well, it's not in
what
anybody's,
do you mean?
But it's a championship parade.
Okay, so when you sign a contract.
Are you Roger Dorn?
Yeah, when you sign
Roger
a contract.
Who are you, Lou Brown?
Yeah.
It is not in my contract, and I did it. Therefore, Friday, I am not coming in.
Hold Go on ahead. A second. Do whatever you want.
When you sign a contract, it doesn't have a parade clause.
That's exactly right. Therefore, I do not need to show up on a parade clause.
Okay, then maybe in the contract next time they'll be like, you know what, old dog, we need you to be present an hour before every show for.
You know what, Jamie? I don't even care. There's two weeks left, and I.
But that's the whole point. You got two weeks before you're off for 9 weeks. What do you need a day off in between that?
Because I went above and beyond the call of duty. That's why I have a 3-hour shift in my call. I'll get the Roger Dorn papers out for you. 3 hours every day, not 10. With sandwiches stuffed in a guy's underpants that tasted like garbage. And no water. I brought the water.
Well, there was water. There was.
No, I brought it.
Well, you brought your. Yeah.
You called me and said there's no water.
Yes.
I was shocked by that. I will admit. The development.
No, what it was is there was water. And there were snacks.
No.
But the problem is
there was turkey sandwiches somewhere, and I don't know where they were.
Well, the grappler was warming them up.
He got them, and I don't know where he got them from. They were from TV, I guarantee you.
Well, he...
There was no food for us.
The water was there, and the coffee, and
did you see any food?
I went over to it, but what happened was...
I stole coffee crisps from Duthie's desk.
Yes, and he's going to bill you for that.
Yeah.
But...
It's all good. We're here today.
We're fine, and here's what I'll say. The floaters ate all the food. We would have been fine.
What was that? It was like people just pushed away the security down at the stairs and said, we're coming in.
My understanding was there was a setup with food and drinks, and by the time we went to look for it,
it was gone.
Disappeared because people had made their way through it.
I thought we had a great day yesterday.
I had a fun afternoon.
Yeah,
you know
I was starving.
I tried to be like... impartial and just soak it all in. And you know what? The shooting, obviously, you're going to come back to that just because it.
I'm not even talking about that anymore. That ruined my day, and I'm not letting it ruin my
day. It ruined a lot of people's days.
That was one of the greatest days of my life, and that just was like, what a piece of garbage. He I didn't sleep at night because of that crap.
I was so angered that someone, you know, that could happen. And
it's just, it's garbage.
You don't want to be naive. I mean, this is the real world, and stuff
and it happens.
Happens
in every city.
It happens everywhere.
This is a big
but
city.
It's just disappointing because it was a long day. It was a fun day. It was a celebration,
and it ended like that crap. Well, that is garbage.
We live in a world now that bad things happen. Let's hope everyone that was injured yesterday pulls through. It could have been worse. Could have been a terrorist attack. It could have been something else. Like we see it all over the world. Toronto's a massive city. There were 2 million people. Not everyone is unfortunately that attended are the greatest of people. And you know what? It's a little bit of a shiner, but you can't just focus on that. You can't.
No, I don't think historically the majority of people aren't going to remember that. The truth is, the majority of people didn't even know what was going on. We were right there at the corner of Queen and Bay. I didn't even hear the shots or anything.
I didn't either. But
no one heard
the horror of watching people just run. I knew something was up, and it was not good. And that's the first, and I hope the last time I ever experienced that.
Yeah.
And then when people started walking by saying, "Get the hell down," I was like, "I can't believe believe I'm doing this."
Yeah. It was emotional, but we're fine. Like we made it through, and everyone.
Anyway, I'm not coming in Friday. Monday. I'll be here at noon. Noon till midnight, I'll work the whole shift through.
No, he won't.
Why would you come in at noon on Monday?
Because I'll do extra. I'll do Leafs lunch. I'll do everything.
Go ahead. Do whatever you want. James Duthie is a man that will put in work.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah. This guy's everywhere.
I don't care.
I think Duthie might be going to the draft. Is that true, James?
Yes, sir, Bob.
So what's that all about? I haven't seen you at the draft the past couple of years.
You're acting like I'd never do hockey. What, are you going to do hockey now?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I do the draft. I honestly, between all of us, in case no one's listening, I don't like the draft anymore because, you know, we did it for 15 years or something, and it was one of my favorite events of the year. And now, I'll tell you a quick story. I was in Buffalo a couple of years ago, and I got my son an intern job with NBC. And all the other guys, Bob and Button, Dregs, are all working for NBC, but NBC has their own host, so they don't need me. And so I get my little pass, and I'm coming in, and I can't get on the floor. And our pass, because we're not rights holders, you're not allowed on the floor. So I'm just sitting in the crowd with everybody else. My son sends me a text and says, "Dad, I'll get you in, all right? Come around the back."
Nice.
And my then I think 17-year-old son is helping me out to get on the draft floor.
It's so who you know,
I know,
James.
My place now.
It's who you know, man. James, not what you know.
We were wondering yesterday, was Lisa LaFlamme the host, or were you the host?
Hey, look, LaFlamme, she interviews presidents and prime ministers and kings and queens and princes. I talk to you chumps.
Yeah.
So I know my place.
Well, didn't she
whatever. You call them co-hosts. You
she
know what
did
saying?
The national news last night.
Mm-hmm. I was on at the end. Didn't you see my big national news moment? No,
I
you
heard
stick
about
around
that.
For that.
No. What happened?
I had to stick around till 11 o'clock last night downtown.
Get out of
you
here.
You want sadness. After that day, I went back to my room, and then I just went for a walk on the streets and killed time, and then it was 7 o'clock, and I said, oh, good, only 4 more hours. Just hanging around downtown by myself. Good times.
I got a question for you here.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Sheraton give you a free room because you were giving them plugs?
No,
like substantial
I did not.
Plugs yesterday.
I mean, I'm not above that, but no. I was expensing that bad boy like everybody else.
Oh, you have to. We all did that.
I have to put the second night. I had to get the second night. I'm going to have to book that on Lisa LaFlamme, though.
Oh, absolutely.
GSN won't pay that.
The one thing I noticed after I left you guys, we went for a beer and a bite to eat. Mm-hmm. Walking back, with that amount of people, how dirty it was. People had just thrown everything. Like
I was the exact same. The first people I thought of were the people that have to clean this thing up overnight.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you blame, you know, you can't blame people, especially those people in the square. I mean, what are they going to do with anything? It's not like you have a water bottle besides putting it back in your backpack that you can do anything with. They were just stuck, completely and utterly stuck. And, I mean, I assume you guys have been talking about that whole thing. And, first of all, it was a fantastic day. The images were great. And I like you guys, do not want it marred. I don't want my memory marred by what happened.
Right.
But I will say this, that I felt like, I don't know what the proper term is, that trouble was possible without, you know, shooting notwithstanding. Earlier in the day, did you guys have a monitor where you were doing radio? Like, could you see the parade footage?
Why would we have a monitor?
No,
we're on
really.
Radio.
I don't know. I do television all the time. I always have a monitor, okay?
Yeah.
So there was a shot, I would say, around noon of the front of Nathan Phillips Square, and it was the most crowded mosh pit ever, and it started to sway. You know, you've seen it sometimes at concerts when it starts to sway, and you can't stop being moved, right? It's just like waves.
Yeah.
And people look concerned. And that was the first moment where I said to myself, okay, we could have some issues here. And I'm sure you guys had the same thing. You're only a couple of tents down from me where as the day got longer, a few people started to pass out. And because we were the only real people within their eyesight, people were signaling to us to get help. And so we would call security and then call medics, and the medics would come and say, we can't, there's nothing we can do. We literally can't get to these people. because the crowd was so thick, they had no way. So they just eventually, I think there was that little gap in the middle of, you know, halfway where the Toronto sign was, halfway through the square, that they were able to get a couple of medics to people. But that's when I started to get concerned. And again, I don't know how much you guys have discussed this, but that moment, I just heard Jeff as I was on hold there. That 1 minute or 2 minutes when there was sort of two waves of stampedes was one of the most terrifying things I've ever witnessed in my life, because I thought for a second we were going to watch people die in front of us, and that was horrific. And what made it
all I could think of, James, was Vegas, where you're like, are people going to start like being shot?
Well, I wasn't thinking so much that. I guess, Jeff, I always think the best, and I figured. You know, if something had happened, it had happened off the square, and it was probably a mistake. You know, maybe it was fireworks or something. And if five people start running, then 1,000 start running, and that's the problem. I was more concerned about the actual stampede itself. And then, you know, and I want to say the good, there were so many good people in there that didn't panic, that tried to stop people from running and tried to help people up who had been trampled. And a lot of people that did that, and that was outstanding to see. But all the people that didn't move then, after that first wave or so, again started to look up at us and say, you know, I remember this one girl's face looking up at me saying, what happened? Are we safe? And Sophie Koulias, so one of our producers, was next to me, and we were both trying to calm everybody down, saying, don't move, you're safe, you're safe. And then in the back of my head, I'm going, I don't know they're safe. You know, what if there is a shooter coming and I'm telling everybody to stay put and not move?
Right.
And that whole thing... yeah, it just gives me shivers right now, but I'm so glad that not many people were hurt. And like I said, I hope that as time goes by, we just remember those images of, you know, all the smiling faces. I applaud everybody down there for being able to. I could not sit in a crowd like that. I would have a panic attack after about 5 minutes, let alone sitting there for 4 hours on University or in Nathan Phillips Square waiting for those guys.
4 hours? People were there for 12, James.
No,
they
I know.
Were five
I
in
know.
The morning. They showed up at 4:45.
But that's, no, I know. It was it was nuts. But I don't know what you do. I think that they completely underestimated by about a million the crowd, and I don't think you could ever foresee that. I had this... I feel so stupid. I had a thought as I was driving downtown. I said, I know Nathan Phillips Square is going to be packed, but I think my own way now. I try to transmit everybody's brain into my brain. I would never go into the crowd because I hate crowds like that. And I'm like, what if everybody comes to square, but nobody lines the parade route? And it's just, you know, five people deep, and it's embarrassing. I had that thought.
And, that didn't happen.
Definitely. As soon as we got our first images at about 7 a.m. from the beginning at the CNE, we knew we had something crazy going on.
Do you think it's goofy, the narrative, James, where people were like, imagine like how big this would be if the Leafs won the Cup? I mean,
yeah, I don't think it will be.
You
I don't
can't
think,
get any bigger than that.
I don't
think
it will
be. About the same.
I can't. It's hard to put into terms, because if you go simply by, you know, television ratings, the average regular season Leafs game still gets 2.5 times what a regular season Raptors game does. And if the Leafs make the Cup final, the ratings will probably be massive as well, although I don't know how much bigger you can get than 7 million and 14 million people watching a game. But I really don't think it will be bigger. I just think that there's something about that team and that captures Toronto in a way that, as much as it's a huge Leafs town, I think you're right, Jeff. I don't think it will be any bigger than this. There's some sort of something about the Raptors and the way they won in this that I think that was a once in a lifetime.
Well, hopefully we get a chance to do it again at some point, and hopefully they learn from the mistakes, because there were mistakes.
You have to have barricades. You have to. And I don't know if they would have worked. You saw fences coming down in the middle of the Nathan Phillips Square. People just basically took down the fences. Actually, I thought it was amusing because they started passing the fences through the crowd and then chanting defense, defense, which was kind of funny. But yeah, you have to. I mean, I know it's only you have 10 days to put it together. I know all fans don't like the fact that don't like anybody talking about parade as a jinx, but I know that they were thinking about this. I know TSN was for the week or 10 days before, and thus the city was likely doing the same thing. So they did have some time, but somebody messed up. But I don't know if you could ever plan for this many people. Maybe they would have put up barricades, and maybe they just would have been toppled by the masses on University there. I don't know if barricades could have stopped them. It was that one Lowry video from the bus where you, I said this to Lisa last night on the National, it was the literal sea of humanity. You could not see any, all you saw was buildings and people. Pavement ceased to exist, right? It was just literally, the entire ground was human heads. It was, I've never seen it before, any parade, any place in the world.
It was the ultimate King Daddy Topper you just dropped on this show.
Yeah.
As I said to Lisa last night.
On the national.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was on the National last night, the National News,
you
which I do often
on
with
there.
Lisa
you
LaFlamme.
You pre-taped something and it was stupid. No.
I saw you, buddy.
No, you didn't.
It was a great job. It was
you know
great...
they shot that from a... They rent a hotel suite? That's what they do. The National News. They have a,
oh, they
a hotel suite
there,
at
man.
The St. Germain, and they
oh,
just
you
shoot
mean, what
out
about
on the balcony.
Let me ask you this. Did you get, like, food? Did you get a sandwich, or did you get a hamburger or anything?
From the National?
No, when you were doing the parade stuff yesterday.
Like, somebody yeah, brought, I yeah, somebody brought like, a sandwich and a like a macaroni salad or something. You got nothing?
Well, I had one, but it was 8 hours after you did. It was in someone's underpants.
Oh, no,
for an
I think I ate half and then gave it back, and I think that's yeah. the one you got.
That's probably exactly what I got.
That's a television radio thing. Oh.
You're telling me Lisa LaFlamme got a half a turkey sandwich and a macaroni salad? That was her food?
She had sashimi brought in. There was a chef in the tent next to us.
Of course there was.
The National runs a whole different show, buddy.
Yeah, they don't mess around on that.
Are you being serious or not right now? No, she didn't have sushi.
Obviously, of course she did. She probably had like sushi brought in or something.
You see, Blackie and the guys had Uber Eats. Now, I think that must have been a
product placement
ad. Oh, yeah,
Carlo had a couple of breakfast rolls that were there for 9 hours, and he offered us
yeah,
one.
He tried
it was like,
pawning
no
them
thanks.
Off
I saw someone eat it, too.
A croissant? Those croissants?
The croissant. Yeah, I saw one of our sales guys. I'm like,
they were
this
in
guy's
the garbage
a
for a while.
Okay, oh, I don't think all the people listening who are in Nathan Phillips Square, I don't think they're feeling much.
No, that's
you know, we're
truth.
Under the shade of tents with water and everything else.
James, when you're making people work down there, you've got to provide beverages and food. Sorry.
All right, we got to stop complaining. Because it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, people don't want to hear us complain
no.
exactly
no.
about what we
oh, okay.
you imagine,
if some guy was
go,
building
I
a deck
like
and nobody a, had food for him.
I like, can't go a half an hour without a water. I don't know how people stood out there yeah. for like 7 hours.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank goodness there was a breeze of some degree.
No.
It was a beautiful day.
You know what they should have done? Things. They should have put you guys on the stage and made your mics live to the house, and you could have entertained the people for the 4 hours.
That would have been
a show
awesome.
Right there.
I would have been happy to do that.
We should have been up on the stage. That's exactly what should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next
imagine
time.
If the place just emptied out.
Yeah,
these guys suck.
Yeah, Raptors exactly. are here in 45 minutes. We don't care.
Yeah,
these
we're
guys
done
are
with
annoying.
We've
the hell
had
out
enough of these clowns.
You and Lisa would have emptied the stage.
All right, James. We'll leave it there. Good
someday,
stuff yesterday,
Andy,
buddy.
You can be on the CTV National News. Though.
I don't care to. I really don't. Care.
Probably have to commit a felony of some degree.
It'd be a mugshot. A mugshot will get up there somehow.
Yeah, dig oh, through
a mugshot would be fantastic.
Yeah, there is good. One, so just find it.
All right, JD.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
There's James Duffy, who was running the show yesterday on TSN and CTV.
The National.
He did drop that. He did drop that, though. Like,
oh,
you know,
he had to. He's like, when I was on the National at 11.
I've been reluctant to point this out. The National is on CBC. It's not called The National. Lisa LaFlamme doesn't host The National.
It's The National News on CTV.
Right. It's a very different program.
Right.
The National is what Peter Mansbridge hosted
used to
forever.
Do. Yeah.
And now they've got a...
CTV, we do The National News.
Right. It's not called The National.
No.
So he's an idiot. He doesn't even know what he's on.
Well, doesn't matter. All right. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Bob McKenzie coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. Bobby Mack in Vegas, I believe, ahead of the... award show later in the week. Is that tomorrow night, the award
show?
Yeah,
I think they were flying in today. I know.
There's a lot going on in the NHL.
Well, it is. Like, it's kind of back in business. Like, we got to dive back into it because we've been so Raptors-focused.
Yes,
but,
big time.
Like, Carlson signing, Trouba traded.
Lots
like, there's
going on.
Lots going on here.
Okay, we'll get to that and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us in about 15 minutes. The NHL draft going on Friday night throughout the weekend. And then as of Sunday, I believe it is, free agents can start talking with teams. And it's going to be a pretty wild 2 or 3 weeks in the NHL and in the NBA. I just saw that there's a report out of Houston that Chris Paul has demanded a trade out of Houston.
His relationship with
LeBron?
James Harden.
James Harden is just Like
unsalvageable is what they're claiming.
What does that even mean? Like, they haven't even won anything.
No kidding. Like, what are you guys married and you're living together and you just can't? I mean, they spend a lot of time together. I get it. And they're two alpha dogs or whatever. And they both, Chris Paul was the man wherever he was in New Orleans or LA.
Guess who is the godfather of LeBron James' son?
Chris Paul.
That's what I was saying. Like, I was linking. Like, wasn't Chris Paul one of those guys sitting around smoking cigars with LeBron?
Oh, yeah. They're very close friends.
So but could they fit him in?
I don't know.
Did they have anything
trade.
To trade? Didn't they trade
that,
half of it away? Like,
if you're Houston, you're like, what do you guys what can you offer us? You got nothing left. They really don't.
They gave up a boatload for Davis, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They gave up three players, three picks, picks that can be swapped.
Yeah, like it was.
Like, they're all in on the last two or three years of LeBron James.
Yeah.
Which I guess you have to be. You make the commitment to LeBron.
Can LeBron somehow restructure his deal where he can move money around? And there's some way to possibly do that.
I don't know.
For money, I don't know.
If LeBron and Chris Paul and Davis were together on that team,
that'd be a good team.
Looks pretty good.
Yep. Kyle Kuzma's still there. That'd be a pretty good team on paper. They'd have to fill out the depth.
Well, exactly. Like, that's the problem. You're one injury away from being decimated.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem with Chris Paul, right? He's had so many injury problems. I don't know what his value's at. I think he's 34, 35 now. I don't know what you're going to get for him, but that's why, again, if Kawhi can return and you bring the band back, Houston feels like they're going to be dismantled in a way.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors are nowhere close to what they were.
Well, not with those two injuries.
Exactly.
Like, that's
so who's fighting with you? If Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris leave in Philly, Kyrie Irving's leaving Boston.
Okay, so
who's fighting with the Raptors?
Right. If Kawhi stays, then they look pretty good. If he leaves, the team that he goes to they're going to try and load up, right?
Definitely. And, you know, and the point has been made, and it's a good one. Kawhi just won with a group of very good players, but no other great players. Kawhi, right. You know, Siakam isn't a superstar. Lowry isn't a superstar. Marcus Gasol isn't a superstar. Just a bunch of really good players.
Hardworking. So,
play both ends, commit. But I guess Kawhi, in a way, is probably looking at this saying, I can go anywhere, and as long as you give me
really good players,
above average talent around me, I can drag you all the way to an NBA Finals.
How many superstars are on the St. Louis Blues? None.
Depends on the way you label it, right?
Tarasenko. Is he a superstar?
Petrangelo plays for Canada, you know, Olympics.
But you know what? That's a lot of just really, really good players.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
You want a bunch of guys that make five and a half, really good players. They won. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into where the Leafs are and what the realities they may be facing.
We
got to
talk that cap and all that too, because if it's at 82, there's some moving parts.
Oh man, it changes a lot of what the Leafs may or may not be doing in the next month or so. So we'll get into that. Some Leaf talk we haven't had any in a long, long time. We'll touch on that at 5 p.m.